we don't leave soon, we'll never make it to camp before dark.
Steve, you gotta get over this rush hour mentality of yours. I keep trying to tell you, think vacation, think fun, think let's go.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 7, Camping Trip. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah B. C. D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Oh,
for some
hello.
Reason, I was camping, made me think of bees.
Uh-huh.
And then I said bees instead of D, and then I couldn't figure out how to get out of it.
Or Sarah B. Dunting didn't work, or I like to tell people to eat bees.
Yeah, yeah. I was going
to
say
doing that,
that
plenty of times.
Yeah. Hi,
hello,
Sarah.
Hello, everyone.
Let's get through this. This episode is really stupid. I think you will agree.
Yes, wholeheartedly.
Just a note, and I'll try to remember to put this in the show notes as well. This is one of the episodes that I had when I was covering Rags to Riches every week on Previously.tv. This is one that ended up in a showdown against Rags to Riches because both of them revolve around people taking ill-fated trips just outside the Los Angeles city limits to go, quote, camping, unquote. And anyway, there's a lot of similarities, surprisingly, including people falling into gulches and their hair really not moving at all. But we'll get there. Spoiler alert. So as you heard in the intro, the kids are all getting ready to go camping because they need a vacation from their summer vacation, I guess, dicks. Brandon makes this big deal about his stupid lucky hat, which is super dopey looking. And there's a gif of him putting it on in a typically pretentious, annoying way in the visual aids.
And I would add, Brenda makes fun of it. Like, you don't get to make fun of anyone's hat, Brenda, ever.
No, not Bye. After last week, for sure.
Did you call her Brimda?
Brinda.
Oh,
that's how,
she pronounces
her own name.
E's.
Okay, I was going to say, because with hat, Brimda would have been pretty good.
Yeah, Brinda in her Brimda. Also, this is the more encroachment of David Silver into the gang, because Jackie is making Kelly bring David on this trip.
What do you suppose a network note was on that? Like, who is asking for more Dave Silver?
I don't know. Hmm. No one.
Like, what demographic? Like, what did he bring to the table? What problem did he solve? What hole did he fill?
I mean, I guess he had some, you know, pop cred. I mean, he's the only one in the cast that can dance from what we can see. I don't know how important that was in the 90s, but it also, like, it was such, they had to go through such contortions to really integrate him, like to the point where he essentially did grade 11 and grade 12 in a year so that he could graduate with everybody. This will be in season 3.
Yeah, there's that. There's the, like, the only way, I mean, the only way to get him sort of into the group was either this, like, step-sibling arrangement mm-hmm. with Kelly, and or he starts dating Donna, spoiler, I guess.
Uh-huh.
eventually, I keep thinking that that's already happened by now, but this part of season 2 is, like, so squishy and everything yeah. is really taking forever, which we'll get into it later. But my feeling is, like, it was sort of a, like, Degrassi kind of situation.
Yeah.
Where they had two age groups initially, but that wasn't working.
Right.
So they're like, well, one of you's got to go, and it's obviously going to be Dead Scott because everyone calls you Dead Scott. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then he had to sort of be like promoted into the main storylines, which that's the only explanation I can think of, is that it started out
sense.
As a much more like lesson-y.
Mm-hmm.
Two age groups show like Degrassi, and then when that clearly wasn't working, they're like, all right.
Yeah. There's also the social climbing aspect of his storyline since the beginning, which is like, that's a real thing that happens in high school too. So that's legit, where he, you know, he clearly wanted to get in with the popular kids, although how popular the gang is sort of an open question since they really only hang out with each other. Anyway, moving on. Dylan is not coming on this trip due to Iris being in town, even though we haven't met her yet.
And she has moved there.
She's living with him.
It's
yeah.
important to note.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's just come by to drop off a sleeping bag, I guess. And then Brandon finally talks Dylan into going after Steve makes room for him in the van by cutting down on the seriously 7 suitcases that Donna has packed for however long this trip is, presumably not long, including, and there's a shot of this in the visual aid, Steve's gone into one of her bags and dug out a whole bunch of shoulder pads that she has packed. It's like the 90s-est thing ever. Ian Ziering holding shoulder pads. The end. Wow. The 90s are over. Anyway, the part of the reason that Brandon is able to talk Dylan into going is that even though he originally didn't want to go because of Iris being there, she's decided that she's going to fuck off to the desert her own self this weekend. So now he has no reason to stay in town, blah, blah, blah. So there's comedy with the bag that for some reason Brenda and Brandon are sharing. Like, the van is not that small, you can each have your own bag, but whatever, it's for contrivance purposes. She convinces Dylan when he comes in to talk to her about it that she definitely wants him to go, and it's fine because it's going to be a completely platonic trip with boy and girl cabins. And of course, was she's, you know, making room in the bag for the clothes that Dylan is going to borrow from Brandon to wear on this trip, which, sidebar, how's that going to work anyway?
Yeah, way too big in the waist, and they will come down to the middle of your shin. Yes. Great. Good luck, Huck Finn.
Dylan trying to bring in the paper bag waist manprise a little earlier than anyone thought. Anyway, so then there's a comedy music cue at this left behind stupid lucky hat and hiking boots that Brenda has dug out of Brandon's bag and not put back in.
Just carry on, I'll be fine.
Don't be such a squeeze.
It sucks. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
So Brandon, of course, has to be the Brandon of this trip by making everybody shut up and agree to have a good time. We hear that in clip number 2.
All right, everybody, listen up. Brandon's got a little announcement to make, and then we are out of here.
Come on, don't be shy. All right, I know I don't have to remind any of you that school starts next week, so let's get a little National Park spirit going here and focus in on the fact that we're all young, free, healthy, wealthy, and wise, and about to embark on probably the most righteous journey of our lives thus far. Let's get busy.
Just want to note, in case it wasn't clear, he said healthy, wealthy, and wise, not white, although either one of them would have worked under the circumstances.
Yeah.
So they get to wherever they're supposed to be stopping. They've been driving through torrential rain. Everyone is miserable and cold and awful, and there's only one cabin available, and it's a shithole. David, of course, has brought his video camera, and he's vlogging the whole thing. But Brandon is still trying to make everyone be on side and see the bright side of this terrible already trip in clip number 3.
So, anyone know any good rain songs?
Look at that. Who in the world would come here for their honeymoon? I don't know, maybe a duck or frog.
Steve, I cannot believe that you forgot to check the weather report.
I didn't forget to check the weather report. I just didn't believe the weather report.
God, I'm freezing.
I'd give you my coat, but it's a little wet. Well, if Mr. Good Samaritan over there hadn't have a stop to change old Bozo's tire, I think we would have been through the Tioga Pass before the Highway Patrol closed the roads.
Hey, come on, guys. This is a minor setback. Remember, guys, we're on vacation.
Yeah. Brandon manages to maintain his good mood even through seeing this shitty cabin. There's not enough beds, the firewood is wet, there's no hot water, there's a huge spider in the bathroom, there's something even more horrifying under the sink, which, whatever it is, we don't even find out what. Yes, Dave?
I was going to say, when did we accept that sheet metal sort of blanket flick as a reasonable sound for thunder? Because
the 1930s?
It ain't.
Yeah. What could possibly...
We actually do find out the horror under the sink. It was a mousetrap with
bait
that had been eaten.
You're right. I'm sorry. We do. So why Brenda is so upset about it when there's nothing in it is kind of beyond me. Obviously, I immediately forgot that even happened. What could finally make Brandon lose his cool? Let's find out in clip number 4.
Bren, where are my hiking boots?
By the bed.
Where?
Jesus.
By my bed. In my room, in our house, where I really sort of wish I was right now.
You left my hiking boots by your bed? My perfectly broken in dry hiking boots by your bed? So now I have to climb up Half Dome in sopping wet, slippery tennis shoes because you left my hiking boots by your bed?
I just have one question.
What's that?
Are we having fun yet?
So bad.
Cue thunder.
Jesus. Yes, exactly. This is why you pack your own bag. It's such a dumb contrivance that this is what makes his hiking boots left at home, but whatever.
And it just takes forever for this to happen. Like, understand, this is 10 minutes in already.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dylan has to have his usual, like, I just have one question. Long break for Casio fucking unhumorous noodling. And what's that, Dylan? Stop. Turn to camera. Are we having fun yet? Spit it the fuck out.
Totally. Moving on. They're going through their supplies. Apparently someone thought they needed to keep the food on the roof because all of it is soaked somehow. And Steve decides he knows how he's going to salvage the evening in clip number 5.
Hey, where are you going, man? Beer run. I'm going to liven up this joint.
Steve, forget it.
Brandon, come on. Hey, don't look at me, partner. My drinking days are over. Dylan?
You know he doesn't drink. Why are you trying to tempt him?
Excuse me, I can answer for myself.
Then answer. Fuck.
Not this time, man.
I'll go.
God. What would your dad say?
Hey, leave him alone. Not everybody in this party's got to be a deadbeat.
You know, you guys make a perfect pair. Mutt and Jeff.
You know, you say you don't want any now. But when I break out the six packs, you'll all be begging for a brewski.
If you can get any.
Which really isn't likely.
If I say I'll deliver, I'll deliver.
Mm. Will you deliver to my house? Because that's the only way I'm getting through this shit. Is with a brewski. And who says brewski?
And who says no, Mutt and Jeff when they're 16 in 1992? That's just an old reference.
It is deadbeats.
Who says, yeah, seriously.
Just say buzzkill.
Just say
that
squeef.
Existed? Yes, say squeef. Every week, say squeef.
So Donna announces that she's also going to go because she needs tampons. Not that she says that. She says she needs a feminine product. Now everyone knows that Donna menstruates. And then when they all leave, there's more fighting about the boots in clip number 6.
Eh, it's too bad you guys can't get me a new pair of hiking boots while you're at it.
Look, it was an oversight, and I said I was sorry.
What about my lucky hat? Was that an oversight, too?
How did you expect me to fit everything in when you had me pack all those extra clothes for it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have come. That way you'd have your lucky charm instead of the cosmic jinx.
No. Oh, boo-hoo.
Slam!
Also, the lucky hat.
Yeah.
People love how Tarantino says slam. Slam!
Yeah, the hat is so stupid. I mean, you'll see it in the... Please go to the visual aids. You have to see how dumb it is. Like, in
it
no
looks
way-
like a... What is that cartoon with the... It's like a 30s hobo cartoon, basically.
Yeah. He tries to make it look Indiana Jonesy, but first he, like, puts it on so he looks like...
Blossom?
Sort of. I was going to say the neighbor from The Honeymooners, whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah.
Norton?
Norton?
Yeah.
Sure.
Anywho, as we heard, Dylan slammed his way out of the cabin, and Brenda goes to run after him and tell him to chill out, and that's when they run into Mr. and Mrs. Erotic American, Allison,
Jesus,
Allison and Neil.
Trying to kill me.
I'm sorry.
Sucks.
They're at the pop machine. They're all snuggly. They're all over each other. The husband, Neil, is played by Peter Mark Jacobson, who here is only credited as Peter Mark. And just a note, he is the former Mr. Fran Drescher, who is no longer married to her in part because he subsequently ended up coming out. And I don't want to generalize about people's sexuality or what character traits that may or tendencies that may cause to correlate, but he gives some really great glares and side eyes and eye rolls in this episode, which are all in the visual aids and are very, very important.
How does it compare to the guy from Behind the Candelabra scene?
From Cheyenne Jackson in Behind the Candelabra?
Which is really the high water mark for that
guy. Absolutely, yes. That's like an A+. If that's an A+, he's like a definite solid B+.
Okay.
I would also note that his bride is wearing a nightgown the size of a sail.
Mm-hmm. For their honeymoon. So, and they later say it's their wedding night, which, like, what? Anyway.
And so she's out getting a soda, which she never even gets. That right. just bugs the shit out of me when it's like, we're going to do this bit of business and then not finish the actual,
right.
like, MacGuffin that we packed in here. Whatever. This episode is so stupid. I'm going to stop talking.
Also, there's a boom mic, which Sarah made sure to note in the visual aids.
Keeps diving into the...
It is God. All over this episode. It's really true. They don't care about the weather because they're on their honeymoon and they're just going to fuck, obviously. So, meanwhile, Steve... I forgot to say at the beginning, this whole episode is just A or F story, whatever. It's only one story, really, the whole way through. So we cut back to Steve at the country store or whatever. He was not able to buy beer himself, so he tries to get a couple of old raisins who show up to buy it for them. These extras do not even get a line, by the way.
No.
Back at the cabin, Brenda and Kelly are playing Go Fish for 1,000 hours, staring at each other over their cards. Andrea backseat drives Brandon's fire building, which she only knows about theoretically. Finally, Brandon goes to get firewood with Andrea, see if he can borrow some from the newlyweds, and they get invited in. Neil is so angry at this. The glare that he gives is like the file name that I gave it in the visual aids is We Are All Neil, so please go and see it because it's amazing. Andrea and Brandon and Allison and Neil have this conversation in clip number 7.
So even though we knew each other in high school, we were just friends. Acquaintances, really. But when I bumped into Neil in Cambridge...
Oh, you went to Harvard?
Oh, BU. Allison's a brain, not me.
Stop, I am not. Anyway, something clicked and we knew we were meant to be together.
No doubts, huh? No sneaking little feelings you were making a heinous mistake?
Brandon.
What?
No, I understand what he means. How can you be sure it'll last forever? You can't.
Just gotta go with your gut instinct. What feels right. Don't you think so, honey?
Absolutely.
Maybe we should demonstrate.
Honey? Can I get you some more hot chocolate?
No, actually, we're expected back next door.
Oh, hi.
There's actually more of it than that. I cut it in like the middle of the giggling and carrying on as Andrea stands there like a creep watching them basically having foreplay. It's so weird. And why Brandon is the one who asked them, like, how did you know you definitely wanted to get married? Like, are we supposed to think this is the first married couple he's ever met? Because I'm pretty sure he lives with one, but whatever.
And why doesn't either of them just be like, we're going to get the firewood if we could and then just leave?
Yep.
Because it's your honeymoon. Why yep. are you sitting, like, do you want some hot chocolate? The correct answer is no,
you don't.
No, thank
you. Yeah. We'll be on our way and leave you alone, strangers. So while that was happening, Steve's money was getting stolen from the raisins at the country store. So when they come back, he's in a foul mood, and we hear all about it in clip number 8.
Man, I can't wait till I'm 21.
Why? So you can buy beer? Big deal.
Don't you wish you were older?
Sometimes, but I'm really not in a rush to be out on my own anymore.
Well, it's got to be better than where we're at now.
Yeah, everyone's saying you can't do something because you're too young.
Or you can't dance in this club. Or you can't watch this movie.
Can't vote in an election, even though you might know more about it than your parents.
Who don't vote anyway.
Oh, my parents vote.
Yeah, but they're different.
Very different.
They're the exception. It's like they've discovered the meaning of life.
And what is the meaning of life, O Cosmic Steve?
I haven't got a clue.
You said it.
Oh, like you do?
Yeah. It's love.
Yeah, love. Love makes the world go round, right?
She's right. Well, I can't prove it empirically, but I don't know. There seems to be a heightened awareness experienced by people in love that transcends the physical plane.
But it won't buy you dinner when you're hungry.
So what are you trying to say, that life is just about money?
Survival. That's it. Getting by.
Dave?
I just want to say how much I enjoy the term raisins for wrinkly old people. And how much is being used this episode?
It's not going to come up again.
I've never heard that term before I met you, Tara. And you use it all the time, and I really enjoy it.
You know how I feel about old people. I am against them.
For now.
Well.
We'll come back to you in 20 years.
You're surrounded by them right now. Watch it.
Anywho, this tiresome philosophical discussion really gets a goose from Dylan's moroseness, who can't stop saying cosmic over and over for no good reason or in any kind of sensible context. But that's not all. Dylan is even more down on love as the scene continues to its comical, air quotes, conclusion in clip number 9.
Love just gets in the way, confuses people, makes them scattered.
I don't think those newlyweds next door would agree. I mean, they seem pretty focused to me.
Yeah, focused on a horizontal plane.
No, wait, Andrew, so what's your point? If you're not in love, you're somewhat a lesser species?
Not a word.
Look, all she's trying to say is that Alice and Neil are able to tune out the rain and cold and be at one with each other. And each and every one of us would be lucky if we could find someone like that to rely on. Excuse me. Allison, what's wrong? Is something wrong with Neil?
Yes, he's a stupid idiot. I don't want to impose, but do you guys have room for one more in here tonight?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, wedding tuba. You
that
said
was
it.
So close to the sad Flintstones music, which goes, I don't know why it's stuck in my brain, but it goes like exactly like this. Wah, 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 wah,
wah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Is that it?
Well, there's more, but I mean, I don't want to do the whole theme.
Okay. Just kidding. I will add, specie is a word. It's not what it means.
No.
But it is a word.
All right. Also, even though before when they were like, oh, Allison's the brain, she was like, no, I'm not. Maybe she's right because this is idiotic. Like, they've already established all the other cabins are taken. So why is she, if she's decided that she needs, you know, to get away from Neil, going to the kids' cabin as opposed to another adult's cabin or the main cabin or her car, if she has to have this theatrical stupid fight with Neil? And what is this fight over anyway? Well, let's find out in clip number 10.
Allison, I don't understand. I mean, what went wrong?
The bastard got me pregnant.
So he married you, didn't he?
Steve, shut up.
I didn't know I was pregnant before last week. I was planning to tell him tonight until I found out he doesn't ever want to have children.
This is great. We don't even need a TV. We have days of our lives right here in the flesh.
Whatever.
Okay, well, maybe talk about this before you get married, dickheads.
Whoa, there's so much more of that yet to come, but yes, you're right. So it's not only Days of Our Lives, it's also I Love Lucy. Clip 11.
Is my wife here by any chance?
Oh, hello, Ricky, come on in. Lucy is talking to Ethel right over there. Babalu.
Allison.
Excuse me, I have to use the restroom.
What did I do?
Man's eternal question.
You don't know?
We were just talking, and boom, she blew up on me. You would have thought I told her that I just slept with her best friend or something.
No, it's not that at all. You see, she's upset because...
David, I think we should let Allison discuss this with him.
Discuss what with him?
It's kind of personal.
So, she told you guys.
Gotta get this on film.
Flush.
I ran into the bathroom to cry and make a spectacle of myself, but oh, I'm in here. I might as well
drop a deuce.
Might as well dump out. Anyway, why Brandon does the Ricky Ricardo impression is really anyone's guess. But if he insisted on doing it, why did he call Neil Ricky? He's Ricky. Be consistent. You're not making sense. This is dumb.
Dump out.
Sorry. So, anyway, the kids choose sides, try to mediate. Neil is dismissive of them, as he should be. This turns into a whole thing about their experience of divorce. Neil's really not interested, and we get a little more of how over it Neil is in clip 12.
Allie, honey, at the risk of sounding like a sexist pig, I have to ask, is it that time of the month?
And then go around the
Here's
circle.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
About that.
Yes.
It's your wedding night. You'd probably know about that.
Yeah.
Happening.
Yeah.
But okay.
But yeah, the kids have so much wisdom to share on the subject of marriage, and we hear some of that in clip 13.
Are all your parents divorced?
Well, no, mine aren't, but mine are, his are, his are, hers aren't, theirs aren't, and his are.
Uh-huh.
I can hardly remember what it's like to have my mom and dad both living in the same house.
How old were you when they split up?
I was 3 and a half.
I was 5.
How old are you, Dylan? About 6, right?
So, no big deal. I mean, better split up and spend the rest of your life fighting.
Well, it was a big deal to me. When I was young, I can remember whenever I'd meet a new friend whose parents were divorced, I'd always think, hey, she's a nice girl. It's not her fault that her daddy moved out. I guess I kind of reassured myself that it wasn't my fault.
I know. I used to think that if I hadn't made too much noise so early in the morning, maybe things could have been different.
Well, I know I didn't cause my parents to split up. I could see it coming.
That's because you were 14.
No, it's because my dad became a jerk.
David, it's not that simple. Well, you know what they say. It takes two to tangle.
It's tango. It takes two to tango.
Dawn is dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. I will say Jenny Garth does a nice job with this.
She does.
Writing.
Mm-hmm. Considering how terrible it is, she definitely does.
Yeah, and then there's nothing worse than... Like, whatever, horny frat ball Steve is, like, kind of bad, but at least sort of amusing sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when he's like, this is the worst, we need alcohol, which, seriously.
Yeah.
But, like, boo-boo kitty Steve mm-hmm. is so terrible. Like, Ian Ziering just is not built for that. And
no.
It's, maybe if I just had made some... No. It is your fault. So are all the other divorces. Shut up.
So Neil gets tired of this, as we all do, and finally Allison comes out and tells him what's going on in clip 14.
Hey, guys, I know divorce is no picnic for kids, but we don't have any kids, and we don't plan on having any either.
See? There you go.
Is that what this is all about? Honey, you want kids? Allison, you told me they didn't fit into your lifestyle.
I was single then.
You told me your firm didn't look kindly on associates who took paternity leave.
So? I can find another firm. You told me you loved kids.
Yeah. Other people's.
You're always raving about your nieces and your nephews?
Whom I love very much, particularly when they all go home.
Word.
Does that Neil 2016.
No. It just makes you a bad father to be.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
I don't see him jumping for joy.
Allison, honey, you told me that you weren't able to get pregnant.
Apparently a misdiagnosis.
Oh, my God.
There were, like, every reason to not have kids was in that scene. Like I seriously can't think of any others that they didn't go through. Like, you really had to put infertility scare
He's
in
got
there,
three
too?
Three sexes tattooed behind his ear.
God.
Oh, God. Neil.
So, yeah. So, Dylan's like, ugh, enough of this, which, yes, agree. So, he stomps over to Allison and Neil's cabin so that they can not have a private conversation there. And Bren follows him again, and they have this conversation in clip 15.
What do you know, Bren? You got a nice home, a secure family. My mom is a Looney Tune, and my dad is in jail, for God's sake.
I know. I can't even imagine how that must feel.
That's right. You can't. You can't even imagine it. So who are you to come down on me about my negative attitude?
Dylan, I know you got a bum deal. But can't you look at what you have that is good?
Like what?
Like your friends. Brandon loves you. All the guys think that you're totally cool. I mean, every girl I know would love to go out with you.
Every girl but one.
I thought we Two. Would decide that it would be better to see other people.
Yeah, better for you.
Can't you just accept the fact that I care about you? And that I want to help you and stop twisting it around?
Oh, I forgot. You care about me, but I'm just too intense.
I mean... But he's such a dick to her, calling her on her bullshit that,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's frustrating because, like, this is such a non-story. Like, there is no way that this, whatever it is with the two of them, would be dragging on this long.
Yeah.
So, I enjoy that he's calling attention to it, but at the same time, it's like, hey, writers, why are you... Like, high schoolers love labels. They would just get back together. Don't stop dragging it out.
Yeah. Why are we in this story cul-de-sac? Also, his line reading on every girl but one. So melodramatic. So they've come to this point in their conversation when Neil and Allison return, and what do you know? They've worked everything out in clip 16.
We both feel, now stop me if I'm wrong, honey, that even though we didn't plan on having children, well, we've got 9 months for the idea to grow on us, so to speak.
I'm already getting used to it. Hopefully by then Neil will be too.
What if he isn't?
Oh, I probably will be.
But you don't know Neil.
Well, then, that'll just be our problem, won't it?
No, it'll be Seriously. That kid's problem who didn't ask to be born in the first place.
Dylan,
nobody asked to be born.
That's right. That's why you better make sure you want this baby or else give it to someone who does.
You know, you're making a lot of assumptions for someone who doesn't even know us.
I know what it's like to grow up being constantly reminded that you are a mistake. And if you're not prepared to love that baby or give it up, you might as well have an abortion right now.
Up on the table. Let's do it.
Every time I hear it, it is more hilarious. Like, you're never allowed to even say the word abortion on TV, except in situations like this where it's clear it's definitely not going to happen. So, like, the fact that he would bust it out in conversation with people he does not even know is ridiculous and hilarious and awesome.
And, you know, you can hear Brenda's, like, Dylan boner sproinging because he's so troubled and unwanted and broken.
Yeah. So he stomps out. Brenda, for some reason, stands there like a fucking asshole after he's there. Like, get
going. 20 minutes. Like, you've been following him around all episode. Yeah. Why stop now? Get out.
Well, the reason that she stops now is because we have to watch Dylan walk through the woods, sit on a log, get a tiny little liquor bottle out of his jean jacket pocket, and throw it down his throat. Those bottles are so ridiculous, obviously, and you can see.
And there is a point where, like, whatever, he drinks from them, and then he gets drunk and barfs, and Brandon the next day is like, from these little bottles? And I was like, yeah, seriously. That's what happens when you weigh 112 pounds.
Yeah. Well, you can see his desperate slug of the tiny airplane bottle in the visual aids. I gift it. So yeah, he doesn't come back. Brandon, as Sarah said, finds him the next day leaning on a log holding these two teeny weeny tiny bottles of empty liquor bottles. They have a manly conversation that leads to a decision that they're going to go on a hike. And then after some cabin hijinks, Steve clearing his sinuses, we're back with Brandon and Dylan. I'm just going to shorthand this because it takes so long and it's so stupid. But they climb up to this cliff and Brandon gets too close to the edge in his slippery tennis shoes, as previously foreshadowed. And he slips and falls, and then Dylan has to try and pull him up. And every, like, the blocking on the stunt double is...
Oh, dude.
So terrible. You can see it in the visual aids, but, like, whoever it is, like, kicking their little legs, even though you can see they're obviously on a ledge. Like, just stop moving your legs and hold still. You'll be fine.
Yeah, like, the strain of, like, not resting your leg on anything. Like, mm-hmm. there's plenty of footholds, and if you stopped kicking, but, like, all he's doing is, like, trying not to touch anything that might obviously, like, visibly save Brandon.
And of course.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? And the cutting, oh, God, it's just so blatant and wonderful and dumb.
I mean, and every time they cut to Jason Priestley's face, he's got these, like, very artful, like, scratches and scrapes on his cheeks. His hair... still completely immobile, hasn't moved. Like, he looks so weird. His the skin tone is like super pale. Like, it looks like it, you have to see in the visual aids. He looks like he's wearing a mask with this like brush on top because it's his usual dumb tall hair. But anyway, Dylan, after leaning down, he goes prone, has his chest and stomach pressed against the top of this cliff. He's reaching down. First, he like dislodges a couple of rocks, of course, so they can fall and like presumably hit Brandon in the face. And then it's
he's lying on them where like they rehearse that, like, so it looks like he has little rock boobs.
It does. Awesome. It's not worth watching this entire episode, but just to see how terrible this scene is, maybe just watch this part. It's in like the last act, I think. And for all the people that complained, I think maybe only one complained about us short shaming Brandon on this podcast. There's also this in clip 17.
Stretch, damn it.
That's Dylan trying to reach for Brandon's hand. Of course, he finally gets
it. What's with the steel drums also? I know.
Oh,
soundtrack.
God, the music is so over the top. Anyway, he gets Brandon up and they make their way back to the cabin. Brandon only has one shoe at this point because the other one fell off while he was kicking his leg so much. And they're fine. Brenda is not interested in their dumb stories that we still have two legs and a head. It's dumb. It's so dumb I didn't even clip it. And then Dylan and Brenda have a very inconclusive apology about the previous night. And then Dylan realizes there's someone else he needs to talk to. And we hear that in our final clip.
Hey. Sorry if I freaked you guys out last night.
No, don't apologize, really.
Gave us a lot to think about.
Really?
Good luck with your baby.
So he didn't apologize.
Hey, if it's a boy, you can name it Dylan.
Well, he'd be in some good company.
Very paternal, Neil. Mm-hmm. Bleed bullshit.
Yeah, no, you gave us a lot to think about. Like, think about not having a kid that might turn up to, like, this fucking jackass we just met. I mean,
yeah, think about locking the door to your cabin and not answering it. That'd be what I took away from this.
Yeah, I can't believe they let him off the hook. Like, he didn't have to say anything. He could have just been like, well, we're all strangers, so I guess we'll part ways. Like, who cares? But then for them to have the scene in it and also have them totally let Dylan get away with some pretty shitty speeches is not great. Anyway, then we move back to Brandon, who hugs Andrea and makes her a woman, judging by the expression on her face, which you can see because I gift it.
This is after he was like really nuzzling Donna, like Dylan in the credits style on lawn when they were packing. Like, the fuck is that? Also, she's wearing this like flowered overall short all thing.
Donna was. Yeah.
Yes.
When they left. Yes. It is very weird and baggy. And then they get back in the van and go to Yosemite, and that's the end. We never see Neil and Allison again, obviously, or their baby, Dylan.
Dylan.
Delana. Although I guess Dylan can be a girl's name, too, so whatever. And that's it. Final thoughts before we close it out, Sarah?
Nope. Let's keep moving.
Most valuable player, Neil.
Yeah. Neil.
Neil does
falls
not know
off
why
the ball
he...
a little bit at the end there, but totally Neil.
Yeah. All right, least valuable player. Dylan.
Huh.
I mean, he's really shitty to them. The abortion speech is totally over the top. Also, had the chance to let Brandon die and did not take it.
Ooh, yeah, good point. Okay, Dylan.
Who was yours, if not Dylan?
I guess the hotel bar staff or the like whoever stocks the mini bar for not locking it in his room. I don't know. Iris, right. Whatever.
And finally, the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
5 reasons from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Sarah?
He can cause you to leave your hiking boots at home, and then you slip and almost die.
He also is not properly dressed to hike himself, as you noted in one of your visual aids. He's in, like, Doc Martin boots or something, which are
good grippy ones, just, like, the flat, sort of barely a sole ones. So, yeah.
Yeah, so he also could cause you to slide, or, you know, if he slips, he could take you out with him.
Very eager to abort your unborn baby.
Yep.
Very eager.
He's a secret alcoholic and who's drinking again, so that's, you know, bad and dangerous potentially.
And might barf in the shoes he did bring because he's the lightest of lightweights.
And he's mad about fucking everything in this episode, including, I mean, well, he's mad about everything. Everything that happens pisses him off, so he's definitely the mad part of those three.
Oh, that's another episode of Again With This. Next time, school's in, Scott's gone country, and it's just not Valentine's Day. For all those white lacy bike shorts and more, visit us at previously.tv. Follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. Our esteemed producer is Dave at Glark, Tara at Tara Ariano, and I'm at Tomato Nation.
And before we go, I have a little note, which is this. We did a Extra Hot Grape Mini.
Oh, yes.
That is 90210 themed. So I'm going to try to add that to the Again With This theme as well. If that doesn't work, Friday we'll hear that. And so if you don't get it in the Again With This feed, go to the Extra Hot Grape feed or just go to previously.tv and listen to that. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, that will have either happened or not. So
that's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on Again With This.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.